Glad you guys are here. My name is Chet, and I want to introduce to you Tanner. Tanner. Okay, we're going to try that again. My name is Chet. And let me introduce to you Tanner. Wow, wow. Well, Tanner is our voice on the radio, and he's going to be joining us tonight for our Bible study. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 11. Joshua chapter 11. Why don't you turn there in your Bible? Tanner, why don't you open us up in a word of prayer?
Jesus, we come before you and we thank you for this time, this chance to dive deep into your word. And I pray that you would just bless this time, that you would fill us with your spirit, that you would speak through Pastor Chet, and we would just be able to take some biblical principles away, Lord, that we would be able to apply this word to our life, and you would make your word come to life in our lives, and that we would be changed forever leaving this place, God, because we know you desire to transform us into your image. So I pray after this teaching, after tonight, God, we would look more like you, and we would purpose to look more like you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We're in a new series, Real Life. Real Life. Tonight's title of the message is Feeling Overwhelmed. It's just a part of real life. Tanner, why don't you take it from here? Joshua chapter 11, we're going to go verses 1 through 5.
Joshua 11, picking it up in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when Jabin, king of Hazor, heard these things, that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and the king of Shimron, to the king of Akshaph, and to the kings who were from the north, in the mountains, in the plain south of Kinroth, in the lowland, and in the heights of Dor on the west, to the Canaanites in the east and in the west, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Jebusite in the mountains, and the Hivite below, Hermon in the land of Mizpah. So they went out, they and all their armies with them, as many people as the sand that is on the seashore in multitude, with very many horses and chariots. And when all these kings had met together, they came and camped together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel."
Look what it says. As many people as the sand that is on the seashore, a multitude of people. This is overwhelming. Joshua is in the middle of a battle, and he's just come out of defeating the southern kingdom. And now here we find ourselves in Joshua chapter 11, and he's ready to fight the northern kingdom. The truth about the enemy is he doesn't give up. He doesn't give up. And when you think, okay, I'm good, I've conquered one area, he's already planning how he might come. And look how they come. He gathers Jabin, he gathers all the kings from all over the northern kingdom to come and attack. Now, I don't know about you if you've ever felt overwhelmed. I don't know if you know this about me, but I've gone back to school and I'm working towards getting my PhD. Well, last summer, I took 3 classes through the summer. Bad error, bad mistake. You don't take classes during summer. You have fun during summer. And I had to have a 10-page paper, a 5-page paper, 3 books read, 1 evening, and the next day I was teaching at Creation Fest. And so here I am in England. I'm up all night, 3 nights in a row. I'm going to teach the night before. Finally, around 3:30 in the morning, I fall asleep on my computer. I wake up around 4:15-ish. I'm only about 5 pages through my 10-page paper. I still have the rest of a book to read. Some of you can imagine where I'm at. I'm absolutely overwhelmed. I didn't even know where to. I'm looking at the computer. A word won't even come out for me to type on the computer. Nothing will come out because I'm completely overwhelmed. And sometimes when you're overwhelmed, it arrests you. My wife, she's funny. Sometimes she'll look at the dirty kitchen, the dirty living room, the dirty, my son's room, and she'll see all of this piles of laundry, and she'll sit there and stare. And I'm like, "Andrea, what's going on?" She goes, "I'm overwhelmed." Well, what are you going to do with being overwhelmed? You've got to be able to start with one dish. But the truth is, sometimes when we're overwhelmed, The enemy begins to use it for us to make wrong and bad decisions. We get and make emotional decisions. In fact, if you're taking note, being overwhelmed and giving the feeling of overwhelmed, it's a tactic of the enemy.
It's a tactic of the enemy. And that's what you're pointing to, right, Pastor Chet, here in the text, all these different enemies of Israel. Who are these people?
Well, these guys are in the Northern Kingdom. And in the Northern Kingdom, Jabin, he's kind of like the leader. But these are just a bunch of city states. Now, let me explain something. This land that Joshua is about to take, it's unbelievably incredible land. There's harbors, there's hot springs, there's mountains, there's plains, there's fertile soils. And these guys, they've already seen what's happened to Jericho. They've seen what happened to Ai. They saw what happened to the five kings of the southern area. And they've all gathered together now because they're going to come together as a conglomerate to fight Joshua. Now, here's the key. These guys had rejected God. They rejected God. For over 400 years, God poured out mercy on these people, but the more mercy that he poured out on them, the more they rejected him and stayed true to their sin. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 9, the Bible says God is speaking to the Israelites, and he says to them, hey, listen, I want to tell you something. The truth is, the reason why I'm giving you this land is not because of your righteousness, Israel. It's because of how wicked these people are. They have rejected me to their core.
Yeah, this sounds like a ton of people. I can't even count how many kings that was and how many different groups of people. That's a lot of people. I can only imagine how overwhelmed Joshua must be. Yeah. What's going through his mind?
If you look at the list over in Joshua chapter 12, we've got over 30 city states that have come together. He's overwhelmed. Josephus, when he's writing his history book, he says that there's probably over 300,000 foot soldiers, about 10,000 cavalry or 10,000 horse riders, and about 20,000 chariots. Now, imagine these iron chariots, these 300,000 men, and Joshua's going to have to fight these guys. Joshua is absolutely overwhelmed. In fact, this is probably going to be, and it is going to be, his hardest battle. God had prepared him for this, though. Remember, God just didn't give him the most overwhelming thing all of a sudden. It was first Jericho, then it was Ai, then it was the five kings, and now it seems to be this overwhelming army because God is a faithful coach. He doesn't give us more than we can handle.
Yeah, it's amazing, and that's what it says in verse 6. It says, but the Lord.
Well, stop there for a minute, Tanner. It says, but the Lord. But the Lord. That's important for us to stop and take a moment just to reflect on that. Because God, listen carefully, if you're overwhelmed, listen. It's a tactic of the enemy because God is not going to give you anything more than what you can handle. That's the truth of Scripture. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Listen, God will not give you anything more than what you can handle. He only gives you what you're capable of. He gives you, now listen, you might be going, well, you have no idea. I don't feel capable of all these midterms. I don't feel capable of this issue I'm going with in my family. No. You have to trust the Lord that he knows what you're capable of because he's such an incredible coach. Now listen, there's a way for us to handle feeling overwhelmed. Why don't you finish reading for us verse 6?
It says, but the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time, I will deliver all of them slain before Israel. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire.
All right, guys, listen, if you're taking note, we're going to write down seven quick things that Joshua helps us understand right here in Joshua chapter 11 of what I'm supposed to do when I'm feeling overwhelmed. What do I do when I feel overwhelmed? Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you have felt overwhelmed before in your life? Raise your hand. You felt every single one of us have raised our hand. That's real life. Being overwhelmed is going to be a part of life. What I do and how I handle being overwhelmed is exactly what Joshua is telling us. The first thing, write it down, we need to pray. We need to pray. We know that God said to Joshua because Joshua went to God. All throughout Joshua's chapters 1 and 10, Tanner, we have seen that the Lord has not responded to Joshua unless Joshua went to him. So for the Lord to say, "But the Lord said," you've got to know that Joshua has gone to him and Joshua has asked. Overwhelmed is an anxiety. It's a fear. It's a worry. But the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, why don't you read it for us,
that's exactly where it seemed like you were leading. It says, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you."
So you have a car, right? And when something's wrong on your car, there's an indicator light that goes on. It lets you know something's wrong. In fact, if the check engine light is on, you can't get smog approved. I know this. We just bought a car. So the truth is, when that light comes on, check oil, check engine, you're going to do something about it. Being overwhelmed is an indicator on the dashboard of life. And when the overwhelmed red button comes up, it should remind us to pray. That's what he says. When you're anxious, you need to pray. And here's what happens when we pray. The peace of God that passes understanding will fill our hearts. We'll be able to start thinking clearly. I remember that story in 2 Kings chapter 6. Do you remember what happened, Tanner?
Yeah. Are you talking about with Elisha and his servant?
So with Elisha, you remember what happened was Elisha, he was in his tent in prayer, and his servant walks out of the tent. The Syrian army's out to get him, and he looks and he sees this army and he just freaks out. He doesn't know what to do. He runs in the tent. And I can just imagine. He runs in the tent. Ah, Joshua. Elisha, what's going on? Elisha, you got to see what's happening. And Elisha prays. And Elisha says, "Lord, open his eyes." Elisha sees anxiety. He sees fear. He sees him overwhelmed. And he prays for him, "Lord, open his eyes." The servant walks out. And all of a sudden, what does he see?
He sees the angels, right? He sees the chariots of fire.
He sees chariots of fire. And the guy that went in freaking out, he came out walking like this. It's like, yeah, you come mess with me. Because that's what prayer does. Prayer brings us to the place of peace so that we can make good decisions. We need to allow our feeling of overwhelmed take us to a place of prayer.
Good. Picking it back up in Joshua chapter 11, verse 7, it says, "So Joshua and all the people of war with him came against them suddenly by the waters of Merom, and they attacked them."
I like the way you said, "with him," giving the indication to everybody. Here's what we want you to do. We want you to underline that. They were with him. You see, the second point I want you to write down is, you're a part of a body. You're a part of the body of Christ. And there's sometimes a feeling that when we are overwhelmed, that we are alone. And the enemy likes to whisper, no one will understand. And we begin to isolate ourselves. But Joshua didn't go to battle against this overwhelming army by himself. No, he enlisted his army to go and fight with him. Like-minded people that he enlisted to come alongside of him and to pray with him. We've got to be careful, Tanner, that we don't isolate ourselves when we're overwhelmed. We've got to encourage other people, tell other people, be transparent, and get other people on our side. What's that scripture in Hebrews chapter 11?
I think it's
Hebrews 13.
It's the one where he says, pray for those as if enchained with them. Is it that one?
It's remember those who are in chains as if you're chained yourself. In other words, what God is saying, you're not alone. None of us are alone. We need to recognize that we have got people with us. I've got Tanner. I've got Zach, who you've seen. There's another fellow I told you about as a good friend, Trent Gamble, last week. I've got men around me, and most importantly, my wife, who is with me to do the work of the ministry so that when I'm discouraged or I am feeling overwhelmed, I can choose to go to them. That's our second point. You've got to remember not to isolate your part of the body of Christ. Verse 8.
Says, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who defeated them and chased them to Greater Sidon, to the brook Misrephoth.
That's why I'm having you read tonight. I can't say half of these words.
I know, you picked me to do this with all these hard words. And to the valley of Mizpah, eastward, they attacked them until they left none of them remaining.
You see, let me explain. God told them, this land is for you. This land is for you. God's got promises for you. And our faith exists that we need to trust the promises of God no matter what comes our way. His promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And I don't know what word you have. I don't know what thing God has promised you, but you can rest assured that if God has promised you, it's a reality. Think of Abraham for a moment. He's an old guy, okay? He's well past the opportunity to have children. Sarah, she is well past the opportunity to have children. Now think of the night Abraham walks in and says, hey babe, you and I are gonna get together. Sarah's like, I mean, she already laughed that she was gonna have a child. She's looking at him, he doesn't look as handsome as he used to, and going, Abe, are you serious? What's the deal? But Abraham trusted the promise of God. And the Bible says, who contrary to hope, in hope, Abraham believed. You see, this is what God does. He sets us up to trust him. Think of Moses. Moses gets to the Red Sea, and what happens? When Moses gets to the Red Sea, there's an army behind him, mountains on the side of him, a Red Sea in front of him. God set him up to give him the promises. Or what about the three boys? They chose to stand for God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And God didn't deliver them from going to the fire. He showed up in the fire with his promise that he would be with them. That's a promise that he gave them back in Isaiah when he told them in Isaiah, even if you pass through the fires, you will not be burned. There's another example in the New Testament. Tanner?
Mark 4, where Jesus gets on the boat with the disciples and the storm arises and they're freaking out and they're like, Lord, Lord, do you not care that we're perishing?
And the Bible says they were greatly afraid, right? And what does the Lord do?
The Lord says, peace be still. He calms the storm.
So he sends them out to the storm, right? And he knows the storm is going to happen. And then he walks out to them and he gives them peace. You've got to remember when you're overwhelmed, write it down. Trust the promises of God. He's setting you up. This overwhelmed condition is not for you to be overwhelmed. This overwhelmed condition is for him to show himself strong to you. Let's go to verse 9.
So Joshua did to them as the Lord had told him. He hamstrung their horses and burned their chariots with fire.
You see, this is something that God had explained to them. It's the next point. Write it down. He says, be obedient. It's the key to our success. Listen, if you look at verse chapter 11, verse 15, the Bible said on the latter portion, he left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. Obedience is the key to our success. Obedience despite the way that we feel. You see, when we're overwhelmed, the enemy's purpose is to distract us from our obedience. That's his purpose. He takes us to a place of being overwhelmed. And let me give an example. I'll give a good one. Why don't you give a bad one?
Let me
call it a desirable, not a good example, but a desirable. You're with your boyfriend. You're with your girlfriend. And your biology begins to take over. And you're really enjoying this experience. You are overwhelmed with the biological thing that's going on in your body. Your girlfriend or your boyfriend, you're hugging, you're kissing, you're holding hands, you're in the backseat of a car, you're sitting on a sofa seat, and now you're overwhelmed. You're completely distracted by your biology. It's a desirable place. And the enemy, he wants to take you to that place of being overwhelmed
so that you disobey what you know is right. What's a maybe
an
not
undesirable
an undesirable one?
Well, I think about like tests or exams. So often we can get stuck in this place where we're studying, and much like the story that you shared in the beginning, there's a paper we have to do or whatever the case may be, and our mind is so focused on the test that's coming up that we miss the test and the lessons that are right before us that the Lord's
right.
trying to
so
teach
your children
us.
Come walking in and you yell at them. Or your wife says, hey, can you do this for me? And you get frustrated. And now I'm so overwhelmed that I've lost control and I've gotten to the place of anger and I've gotten to the place of frustration. This is what the enemy wants to do. And that's why it's important that despite the fact that we're overwhelmed, despite the way that we feel, we've got to choose obedience. We've got to choose obedience. Let's go on, verse 10.
Joshua turned back at that time and took Hazor and struck its king with the sword, for Hazor was formerly the head of all those kingdoms.
You see, what Joshua did was very smart. Joshua looked back. He looked back and he saw the root of the problem. Jabin had put everybody together and formed a confederacy against Joshua. He was the root of the problem, and Joshua doesn't move forward. Joshua goes and he deals with the root of the problem. That's the next point. When we get overwhelmed, we've got to look back and see what is getting us overwhelmed, and we've got to deal with the root of that problem. Joshua doesn't waste any time at all. He goes right back to it and he deals with it. Now, if you're taking note, Jabin means intelligent. Jabin means intelligent. And Hazor means fortress. In fact, it's where we get our English word Chester, which where we get my name Chet, which means fortress. You guys didn't know I was so strong, right? Now here's the deal. So Jabin, intelligent, Hazor, fortress. We're very good at this, aren't we? We are very good at building up walls to deal with our issues in ungodly ways. We're very good at it. We're very good at making up walls and surrounding ourselves with either isolation or anger or frustration. And everybody knows when you're overwhelmed because you behave like, and we've built this lifetime wall of the way that we act when these overwhelming circumstances happen. Now, in my situation, I can boil it down to two areas I believe we need to deal with. The first one is worry. Worry. When we get overwhelmed, we worry, even though Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. I think that worry is one of the biggest sins in the United States of America. If Jesus says, do not worry, and we worry, oh, I know you Christians. You don't worry, you're concerned. And we begin to change this word so that it sounds a little Christianese, so that you're not really worried about your children. You're not worried about your exam. You're not worried if you're going to pass or fail. You could study a little bit more. You're concerned about it. You're concerned about it. But the second one, Tanner, it's fear. Fear. People get afraid. And that's exactly why the Lord says to him in verse 6, do not be afraid. The problem is, Tanner, fear is so real. It's such a captivating feeling. Listen, when I was younger, I used to not swim in the swimming pool. You know why? I believed a shark would come out of the drain and eat me. And I would never swim in the swimming pool by myself. It amazes me that I was a swimmer in high school and college, but I would, even when I was in college, I didn't want to go in the pool by myself. I always had this thing. I was irrational, thinking that something would come out of the drain and eat me. Something would come out of the, I don't know about you and what some of your irrational fears are. I'm a surfer, and every time I go out in the water, I think a shark is going to eat me. Oh,
that's
God, help
go.
Me. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. When we get overwhelmed, there's a tendency for us to worry and to fear. But God says, don't be afraid. Deal with these roots. Let's go on. See, verse 13 and 14. 11.
And they struck all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was none left breathing. Then he burned Hazor with fire, so all the cities of those kings and all their kings, Joshua took and struck with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. But as for the cities that stood on their mounds, Israel burned none of them, except Hazor only, which Joshua burned. And all the spoil of these cities and the livestock the children of Israel took as booty for themselves, but they struck every man with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, and they left none breathing.
I just don't like that word booty in the Bible.
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
It's a weird word.
I felt uncomfortable saying it.
Yeah, I did. I felt you uncomfortable saying it.
I think my wife is watching this. Yeah. It's just like,
I'm going to sit over here. Yeah. So anyway, they go in and they take the booty. Now, it's a biblical word, so I'm going to use it. The Bible says that they go in and take. Now, here's the key. I want you to hear this. If you're overwhelmed, now remember, Joshua's facing an overwhelming task. Be wise. Be wise. Joshua doesn't burn every city, and Joshua doesn't burn every town. The fact of the matter is, the feeling of being overwhelmed is going to be a part of your real life. If it's not your family overwhelming you, it'll be school. If it's not school, it's going to be who?
Friends, family. Yeah,
it's going to be friends. It's going to be your playtime. It's going to be your work time. There are going to be real life situations that you will face all of the time that will overwhelm you. But Joshua makes a wise decision. We've got to learn how we respond by making wise decisions. He doesn't, listen, one of two ways. You can either react or you can respond. You can either react or you can respond. There's a wise response that you can give, or there is a foolish reaction that you can give. Now listen to this. It's Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11.
A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back.
A fool does what?
Vents all his feelings.
You see, a fool, they simply just say what's in their mind. You overwhelm them, they just snap right back at you. They just throw everything out. It's an immediate response. A fool simply reacts. A fool doesn't think through. A fool doesn't wait for a good understanding of everything that's going on. No, a fool just makes an immediate emotional decision. That's a reaction. That's not wise. Or you can choose to respond. Why don't you read for us another verse in Proverbs?
Proverbs 13:16, I think, applies. It says, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly.
Well, listen to this. It's Proverbs chapter 14, verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. You've got one more there. Chapter 16, verse 22.
Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly.
Listen, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. That's a response. When I'm overwhelmed, I'm not going to quickly react. I'm going to wait and I'm going to respond. That is wisdom. Why don't you take a look then at chapter 11, verse 15.
Says, as the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua. And so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses.
It's our final point. Listen, submit to authority. Submit to authority. You see, each one of us in here, we need to have some measure of accountability, someone that's over us. And I want you to see the two measures that he puts here. First, he says he did everything that God told him to do. But the second thing he said was he did everything that Moses told him to do. There's authority that's divine, and there's an authority, listen, young people, of your parents. There's an authority of your teachers. There's an authority of your boss. There's an authority of your pastor. God has ordained both godly authority and human authority. Now, our opportunity is to take a look at this authority and realize it's for our protection.
Yeah, you once told me, probably because I needed to hear it, authority is a good thing.
I told you that, Tanner?
You did. That's
now,
your
when
quote.
Did I, can you tell us when I told you
I probably
that?
Can't share when and why you told me that, but
now, why couldn't you, Tanner? Why couldn't you share with us?
I could. Maybe after the service.
One-on-one with various people?
Yeah, for sure. But no, it's an amazing thing how we see that in this story with Joshua, how how Joshua learned submission to Moses, and in that he learned how to submit to God when it was his time. And I just think about my relationship with you, and you've taught me submission and authority, and it's helped me in my walk with the Lord to submit to the things that he's told me to do.
Well, you know what, Tanner? It's amazing because we've talked about a few principles here, seven of them that we can look at and respond to. And this last one is submitting to authority, but it's for our protection. I love Tanner. I want nothing but the best for Tanner's life. He has chosen in this season of his life to submit to my authority as his pastor, as his leader, and as his boss. And my goal is to see Tanner fly. So I have a responsibility. Remember earlier, and I see it all the time. Earlier, we talked about how it's important for when we are overwhelmed that we should rely on the body, not run from the body. There's a reason why. I'm going to show you a physical illustration. Tanner, come here if you would. You see, I'm Tanner's leader, and I have a responsibility, all right? And so, Tanner, why don't you go ahead? Watch this. Wow, Tanner, you gained a lot of weight. For those of you that are listening on K-Wave, Tanner is on my back. And he's pretty heavy. So if my knees begin to shake, that's the issue. But I'm physically displaying for you Galatians chapter 6. Carry the burden of those that are around you. Listen, that's what that protection is. When Tanner is overwhelmed, he doesn't feel like he can handle any more weight. My responsibility as the leader and the body of Christ, as he comes to me, submits to that authority, is to take that weight and actually put it upon myself. You see, these principles, these seven principles, they're practices. And I want us to see what the goal of these practices are. And here's where we close up, because we're going to see where God was taking Joshua as he purposed to practice these seven principles when he was overwhelmed. Verse 16.
Thus Joshua took all this land, the mountain country, all the south, all the land of Goshen, the lowland and the Jordan plain, the mountains of Israel and its lowlands, from Mount Halak and the ascent to Seir, even as far as Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon below Mount Hermon. He captured all their kings and struck them down and killed them. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings.
Now there's the deal. Joshua made war a long time. He captured all these areas, over 30 kings, okay? It took a long time. In real life, there are going to be continual areas of being overwhelmed. This is not a quick fix. You see, we have to allow patience to perfect its work in us. That's what James chapter 1 says. Let patience have its perfect work. It takes time. And the only way that we will win this battle and get to the place of peace is that we practice these seven principles every time we feel that we are overwhelmed. These are principles and practices to keep us from getting overwhelmed, even though we're beginning to feel that we are overwhelmed. You know, I have a friend of mine, and he passes out a lot. In fact, when he passes out, he knows it's about to happen. So you'll see him, and because he knows it's about to happen, he will go, and you're like, dude, what are you doing? And then he'll inhale. He's passed out so many times that he now knows when the feeling is coming upon him, that he's put practices into place that when he feels the feeling coming on him, he puts the practice into place to protect him from being overwhelmed. Listen, it's going to be a lifetime of being overwhelmed. Joshua took about 5 to 7 years. This was a long time to defeat these kings. We've got to put these practices into place so that every battle of being overwhelmed that we face, we're able to be more than conquerors and more and victorious.
Good word, PC. It looks like that patience is going to come in handy in these next few verses. It says, there was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel except the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon, all the others they took in battle, for it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, and he might utterly destroy them, and that they might receive no mercy, but that he might destroy them as the Lord had commanded Moses. And at that time, Joshua came and cut off the Anakim from the mountains from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua utterly destroyed them with their cities. None of the Anakim were left in the land of the children of Israel. They remained only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod.
Man, just when you think you're done, you've got giants to deal with. Just when you've defeated these kings after 7 years, the last one to fight are giants. Let me explain. You're going to have overwhelming experiences that will seem like giants. You guys know my story. It was only a few years ago. In fact, this past weekend, I flew to Fort Lauderdale and I buried a very dear friend of mine. And when I was at his gravesite, I was reminded of something so vividly because his grave was right next to my brother's and my father's. And while I'm burying him, I'm staring at my family's tombstones. It was a year where in April, my brother died. In August, my uncle died. When we're burying my uncle, my dad died. 2 weeks later, my grandmother died. Within 4 months, 4 funerals, 4 deaths. Listen, there are going to be giants. The fact of the matter is, while we are in this real life, we are going to have giants, but God is faithful. Joshua didn't deal with these giants until he had his Jericho, until he had his Ai, until he had his 5 kings, until he had all the kings of the north. These giants who the Israelites were terrified to go in and fight only 40 years before, now Joshua is fighting because God had made his man of war. God has made his warrior, and now he's ready to fight these giants, and he's choosing to move forward.
Picking it up in verse 23, it says, "So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said to Moses, and Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. Then the land rested from war."
I want you to underline that in your Bible. Then the land rested from war, because that's where God is taking us. And let me explain if I can just for a minute. Do you know, when I was a lifeguard, we used to have drills. And my captain, he would swim out in the water and he would put a blonde wig on, he'd put a brunette wig on, he'd have a t-shirt on, and he would swim out far enough to where I couldn't really see who it was. And then he would pretend to drown. I would go out into the water, I'd swim out to him, and when I got there, he was a pretty ugly woman. And I realized this was not a woman, this was my captain. I was in the middle of a drill. I would bring him in, and then I would carry him up on the beach, and then I would begin as if I was doing CPR. He did this to me once a month, sometimes twice a month. And the reason he would drill me is so that when the real deal happened, it was no big deal. It was just another drill. You see, that's what God is doing. When the real deal happens, he's just preparing you so that it will be no big deal. You will realize something with God. He's bringing you to the place of rest. All of those overwhelming experiences were simply to let you know, don't worry. I'm there. He says, don't be afraid. I care. I'm with you. We'll conquer it together. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name and ask, would you bless us, Lord, with peace? And would you give us grace, Lord? Thank you so much that we can come to you when we're overwhelmed. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.